us his one and only Son to save. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Ever believes in him, will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated. Now it is well. I'm walking in freedom. God so loved, God so loved. Bring all your failures, bring your addictions. Come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting.
In love, here you are, robed in majesty and light. Glory beyond earth and sky, who is like the Lord Most High? Great is the one who would leave a throne room for a cross, all for love,
all glory,
all glory to God alone. Praise to the one who gave it all, name above all names, King Jesus, King Jesus. All glory to God alone. Praise to lives at your feet, finding mercy in your eyes. How far from this place we would be, God, without your sacrifice.
Great is the grace.
Great is the grace that would reach across the great divide to bring us life.
All glory, sing it out.
All glory to God alone. Praise to the one who gave it all. Name above all names, King Jesus, King Jesus. All glory to God alone. Praise to the one who holds the throne, name above all names, King Jesus, King Jesus. Oh. Shout all the earth, shout like you know that our King is risen. Shout like you know the kingdom of heaven. Shout all you sins, shout like you know that we're in his presence. Shout like you know the King is in residence here.
Sing shout all the earth.
Shout all the earth, shout like you know that our King is risen. Shout like you know the kingdom of heaven is here. Shout all you sins, shout like you know that we're in his presence. name above all names, King Jesus, King Jesus. All glory to God alone, praise to the one who holds the throne. Name above all names, King Jesus, King Jesus. All glory to God alone, praise to the one who gave it all. Name above all names, King Jesus, King Jesus. All glory to God alone, praise to the one who holds the throne. Name above all names, King Jesus, King Jesus. High above all names, King Jesus, King Jesus. He's the name above all names.
My light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when strife cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. The power of Christ in me, from life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pull me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Let's pray together. Holy God, you are the God that holds our destiny in your hands. And it seems that whenever challenge and difficulty, pain and suffering come our way, we're feeling around just to make sure that that is true. That we can feel your presence, your awareness. We might hear your whispers that it is going to be okay up ahead. You are our destiny. You are the reason for worship. You are the one that we seek to make the top priority in our life each and every day. And we do that because you do hold our destiny. And you are for us and not against us. And so as we listen to you, as we reach out to you, we're reminded that you have a good plan for us. That as you have delineated the truth about life and faith, that you're using that truth to equip us for every good thing that there is in life. And we don't want to miss out on one good thing that you have in store for us. As we think about blessing, we pray for our world. Lord Jesus, that your hand would be upon the world. Be upon those that are far away from us, yet are dear to us. Those that are a part of the invisible church that is declaring your word and carrying out ministry today. We pray for those in India that your hand would calm the COVID virus. We pray for those who are leaders in this world, that you would give them a sense of wisdom about what they say and what they do. We pray the same for those in our own country who are leaders. De jure leaders and de facto leaders, they're leaders. And I pray that you would give them wisdom. We pray for our own state and county and church as well. Today we pray for those whose faces are coming to mind right now. As we think of those in need, those in crisis, those looking for direction, those looking for resource. You know all of our needs, and so that you might act, we are positioning ourselves in your direction. And we're asking, we're seeking, we're knocking. As we worship you, Lord, we do want to lift you up, honor you. And as we lift you up, please lift us up as well. And we pray all these things, Lord, in your name. Amen. So you can wave, hug those in the same row you're in, under the same roof. It's been another great week. Lots of good things happening, a few wild things happening. I do want you to know that everybody is hard at work and then some, seeking to declare the good news, seeking to minister to you, seeking to lovingly outreach to those in our community and in our area. lots of buzz on campus as more people are coming and participating on campus. We're still trying to do as many hybrid opportunities as we can so that those that are on live stream or those that are on Zoom can continue with us as we move forward. And yes, three people said today, so when are we going to get to take our masks off? Hopefully soon enough. Hopefully soon enough and not way down the way, but we are trying to act in a loving way towards those around us, and that and our own health are the reasons to do so. Today I have a missionary announcement. It's a video, and then we're going to roll from that right into the video scripture reading done by Jennifer and Ava.
Well, it's our pleasure to welcome Ken and Jackie Bradford, who are co-directors of Child Evangelism Fellowship here on the peninsula. Your goal is to reach every child worldwide with the gospel, disciple them, and then establish them in a local church. How's that going on the peninsula?
Well, it's slowed up a little bit, to be honest with you. I think like all things, we've had our little shutdown. Typically, we have 6 Good News clubs operating on the peninsula at all times, except for the summer where we shift to 5-day clubs, which represents about 50 to 60 kids each week. We spend a lot of time with children, and we can go right into a discussion about God uninhibited, and they have absolutely no confusion about what we're talking about. It's amazing to see how powerful God's word is, even with a child.
Well, that makes perfect sense. Adults have preconceptions. Children are kind of a blank slate. So what an opportunity, what a ministry focus you have, the two of you.
Their receptivity to being prayed for and to praying and to learn how to pray, it's off the charts. We just want to thank you guys because, you know, you're part of the reason why we get to do what we do. So yes. Thank you so much.
What I'd like to do is leave our time together by showing just a short video that describes what you do, not only here on the peninsula, but worldwide.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Jennifer Gillis, the Children's Director here at Squim Community Church, and I'm here with my daughter, Ava. And we're here to read our scripture for this morning. And it comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 25.
For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow in his steps. He never sinned nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly.
He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. Once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls.
An internal journey takes a lot to do that. It is way easier to rearrange the exterior parts of our life. In fact, when it comes to substantive change in our life, we usually start on the outside. We try rearranging our circumstances and situation. We try to rearrange our vacations and our time off. Then we move to perhaps changing out and getting a few new friends, some that are more positive, easier to be with, have more toys than we have. In our dissatisfaction with trying to rearrange the exterior part of our life, hoping that it will have an interior effect, we finally move to, with our hands thrown up in the air, oh, maybe I'm the one that needs to change. Maybe my life isn't what it could be. That nagging sense of needing greater meaning, a higher aspiration, making an impact that goes beyond a moment and might last for, well, all eternity. And so when we've usually tried everything else in terms of rearranging the exterior of our life, we start an internal journey. And we've been looking at that internal journey. We talk first about the fact that God calls us so that we can respond to him. And that's not only an eternal decision. I believe that's a decision that immediately gives us a meaning and purpose, a change of mind, heart, and soul that we didn't have before. Last week we talked about, yes, we're regenerated and then we're a part of the sanctification process. The Holy Spirit who indwells us when we ask Jesus to be the leader of our life is now working on the inside of us, transforming us, changing us. Because the Holy Spirit changes and transforms us, he sanctifies us. From the inside out, that is for sure. Week number three is another choice we have to make, another decision. We have to choose Christ, and we need to choose to engage in the sanctification process, but we need to do that each and every day. We need to make a commitment to yielding and submitting to the Holy Spirit. Remember where we ended up last week. It's true, we become very frustrated at times with all of our effort. We've tried and we've prayed and we've done. And so the inside reality is it's not about what we do, it's about what God does. And each and every day, we need to yield to God's will. We have to hold that up as the number one thing that we aspire to, that we're going to work on and work through in a given day. Now, it's true that, well, we all fall short of God's glorious ideal. We fall short, we falter, and we fail in life and faith. And when we can realize that, we now understand that God does have a better purpose and plan for us. Our ability to see that, acknowledge that, and declare that is all about humility. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. Humility often comes through our faults, our failures, the realization that we falter and fail in life and faith. And it's true. To err is very human. It's so human. What we realize in our humility in asking God to enter our life and to partnership with the Holy Spirit to move forward in life and faith, it's all about humility. Notice what Jesus says here. We're in the Beatitudes. The humble are the ones that will inherit the earth. They will have a meaning and a positive impact and a significance in this world. And that isn't all up to us. It's all up to God. Yet we have to engage on a day-to-day basis in that process. And to do that, first and foremost, and to do that on a daily basis, is to realize that we are not God. We act like it sometimes. We have that divine attitude sometimes, as though we have all the answers and we know exactly what we're doing and where we're headed in life. But we are not God. We are not a God. And so we humbly come to the God of gods. We come to worship and be committed to what God wants, has in store for us in our life. See, it's always been God's plan that humanity would be humble towards Him. We see that in the Garden of Eden. We see that in and through the covenants of the Old Testament, all the way into the life of Jesus. And in the direction and teaching of Paul in the New Testament, it is all about humility, being humble enough to acknowledge that God knows best and God has the best in store for us. Now, humility does mean to be mild-mannered, but it does mean a lot more than that. First, it's about having a strength under control, and that's who Jesus truly was. Peter writes, this is our scripture passage, "Here is your example, and you must follow in his steps." Whose steps? In his steps. "He never sinned. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threatened revenge when he suffered. He humbly left his case in the hands of God, who judges fairly." Wow. Now you know Jesus was God because of this. We're not very good at standing back when people hurl insults at us, and when people push us, our general attitude is to push back a little bit harder. Jesus says, "Revenge isn't up to me." Have you noticed you're not a very just judge when you're upset? When you feel insulted, when you've been feeling as though they're pushing you around? No, we don't do well. It's all too human to err in those circumstances, but Jesus didn't. He was humble. And he becomes an example for us on how to engage in the sanctification process day in and day out. It's following in the steps of Jesus, and then when things get out of our hands, we give them to God. And God is ready and able to be very just about all things. And Jesus says that humility is the way to get in step with me. Moses was a very humble person, Leviticus 12:3. Moses was more humble than anyone else on planet Earth. Wow. I'm not sure God has said that I'm sure that there isn't anyone who's human that would look at someone else and say, oh, they're by far the humblest person on this planet. I'm not sure anyone has said that about me. No, Jesus and Moses become great examples. They were strong in their leadership, but they were very humble, very in control, especially when things got out of control. Again, it's about yielding to God, His purpose, His power in our life. Number two, humble people realize that, well, they're not God. That God is God and God is to be worshiped. God, your God, is the God of all gods. He is the master of all masters, a God immersed, immense and powerful and awesome. Well, we know that God is the one that ought to be worshiped. We know that we're not a God, well, most of the time. How many times underneath how you presented yourself, what your emotions were, your mind was thinking, you know, it's really cool when people think I'm awesome. Don't you? Yes, we strive hard, we work at something, we're diligent, and we do want to do our very best job, but we're only human and we err. And the error is that we have a little more than a good sense of pride. There is a good sense of pride. But all too often our pride is, well, beyond the boundaries. And the way to make sure that our pride stays within the boundaries, we do that by being a humble person. And to be a humble person, we have to realize that at times we're really hoping people go, wow, unbelievable. You're awesome. I am in awe of you. Don't we all do that at least a little bit? And when it's more than a little bit, then, well, it's the reality that we really want to be worshiped. And somehow we've forgotten that God is immense and powerful and awesome. And we might be every once in a while. But that's the character and the nature of God. And a humble person realizes that God is worthy to be worshiped. And yes, as creatures created in His image, we too are to be appreciated, to be celebrated, to have the opportunity to do well, take our talents and gifts, and to do our very best in the name of God. In the name of God. Humble people understand who they are and they understand whose they are. In Jesus Christ, we are no less human. We are not superhuman. We are fully human. Once we put that God piece in the center of the puzzle of our life, isn't it amazing how God's aspiration in coming to this planet becomes being fulfilled in us? He came, John 10:10, to give us life and give us life to the full. And here's my thought. Without the God piece in the middle of the God puzzle, it creates a vacuum by which all the good things go. And we realize that something is not in balance. Something is not right. Why is it that I'm succeeding and I'm moving forward, but I'm not enjoying it? In fact, I noticed that as I look back in my life, there's a lot of dead bodies back there. Oh yeah, I've done well, but at whose cost? At whose cost? To be fully human is to, well, know who you are. To know that we're a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ. That we are somebody who has been regenerated and now we're moving along in the process of sanctification. God is doing more and more to mold us and shape us. Moving us forward and being more like Jesus Christ. Yeah, we have to know who we are. My purpose in coming to the earth, Jesus said, is to give them a rich and satisfying, meaningful life. And that happens when we know whose we are. When we know that we belong to Jesus Christ. Everyone who believes that Jesus Christ lives is a child of God. We need to understand that we're a child of God. Yes, we're very human people. Yet our eternal destination is heaven. And God is readying us here in this world for what is up ahead. And so he wants us to realize that to be fully human is to know that Jesus created you. That Jesus has a plan for you. That Jesus came to this planet to redeem you. That God has a purpose for you each and every day until we die and go to heaven. We know who we are when we know whose we are. And as we know whose we are, that directs us in how we are to live. Humble people. It's always been God's way that people would come to Him humbly. Understanding that, yes, we are a favored creation. We are created in the image of God, but He is God, and we are not. Because God chose us, we can choose Him. And we need to choose Him each and every day. We have to choose Him and keep choosing Him. See, we choose Him, regeneration. That puts us on a path. Now we're on the path of sanctification. And to make progress, so to speak, to move forward into who God created us to be, that takes a daily commitment. It's to choose and choose and choose and choose and choose. Author Doug Field says that it's a choice we have to make, and we have to make it every day, over and over and over and over again. It's an over and over and over decision. It's not a one-shot deal. Yes, we did good at choosing yesterday, but we need to be good at choosing today. Humility is a choice. Choose over and over again. Romans 6:16. Don't you realize that whatever you choose to obey becomes your master? You can choose sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Now, I don't know people who wake up and say, I'm going to live wrongly today. That's my goal. My goal is that I'm going to wake up and I'm going to be very prideful. I'm going to think that I'm God. And I'm going to charge ahead no matter the cost. See, I don't know people that think that way, that live that way. But I do know people who aspire to live each and every day through the power, through the peace of God. And it's true, we have to choose. Do we want ongoing little d deaths in our life, or do we want to live? Do we want resurrection of the dead things in our life? See, that's a daily choice. In the process of sanctification, we have to over and over and over and over again decide that today Jesus will be Lord, that we'll allow Jesus to lead our life here and here and here. And when we walk in His steps, that brings a fulfillment to our life. And we are now moving in the best possible direction under the best possible leadership, divine leadership, under supernatural power. It's a choice each and every day, but it's also a choice to give everything to God. Let Him lead every area of our life, every aspect of our life. And I know we're a little picky about that. We're a little slow about that. It is a great challenge. Because every once in a while, we think we know what's better. We think we know what's best. Well, God made me smart, talented, I should be able to figure out the best way to go. And we do have great senses of which direction we should go in. But everybody hits a crossroad. Everybody hits a fork in the path. And I don't know about you, but when I get there, I could use a little divine perspective. And that divine perspective reminds me that I have to keep turning things over to God. I'm not static in time and space, are you? No. I'm changing. The things around me are changing. Everybody in the world knows after the last year, things change. And sometimes the choice is not a pretty one, an easy one, a beautiful one, a successful one. And I'll take all the help I can get when I get to those junctures, those intersections in life. And those choices in life. And so there's something new to allow God to lead each and every day. Because I'm changing, the world around me is changing, and therefore the sanctification process must be engaged in over and over and over and over again in a sense of humility and worship to God, submission to God. And when we do that, God brings substantive change to our life. He gives us hope when we're hopeless. He provides resource when we're without. He gives us direction when we're not sure which way to turn. So no one can become my disciple, Jesus says, without giving up everything for me. Everything. Not just the spiritual things, not just the easy things. Everything. Bringing all that you have, all that you are, to the foot of the cross. Not holding back, and we do hold back. We not only hold back, but we at times take things back that we once gave to God. And when we realize that, we're to repent of our sin. And in that repentance, that confession, then God brings forgiveness. He gives us a fresh start and a new beginning. And that happens because God loves us. Because we're His children. Because He has plans for us and they're filled with hope and a future. Choose God. Choose to yield to God. Choose to yield to God day in and day, over and over and over again. It's the decision that we have to make. It's the choice we have to make. Because God is ready and able. He gives us a future and a hope. Let us pray. God, it's your plan that we come to you once and for all. And we ask you to be the leader of our life, that that witness of the Holy Spirit enters us and dwells us. And we are now a new person. We've crossed the line from death to life. And what an amazing life and purpose you give us. And so our desire is to learn more. Our desire is to take what we're learning and apply it to our life, to our faith. And Lord, where we've grabbed something back from you that we've given you, help us to give it back to you again today. We do want to decide, we do want to choose again, over and over and over again. Because to be your disciple is to keep making the same over and over and over again decision. To use you, to yield to you. To give you not just some of our life, but to give you all of our life. Help us, Lord, to get in step with you. Help us to be more obedient to you. Jesus, help us to yield to you each and every day. We pray to you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we go, let's remember that when insults come our way, when others are pushing us around a little bit, we shouldn't retaliate against them. We should take them to God in prayer. And oh, don't misunderstand me. It's good to put distance between people that insult you and people who are pushing you around. But to their judgment, that is ultimately up to God and not us. Amen.